Good morning to everybody, and welcome for those that have been able to visit us. I would like to read first in Acts chapter 16. This message that we're able to share with you, it is given to us from our Lord. It's a gospel message that is a free gift that is offered by God to man, that, or mean man, mean mankind, so that they can have a way back to God. And I'm going to read here, and you can follow along. Acts 16 and verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. Supposing that the prisoners had been fled. And Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake the word, and they spake unto him the word of God, of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. We ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word. Here we have a story of this Philippian jailer. And myself, not by hearing this story, but by just a verse that's in this story, verse 31. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That was a verse for myself that I could remember, not at a meeting like today, but when I was by myself. And this is one of my favorite stories because of that verse. That's what led me to Christ. But this story of this jailer, I just want to go back a little bit. Paul and Silas were imprisoned. And the reason why they were imprisoned is because they were at the marketplace, and there was a young lady that was possessed by demons, and her master would make money off of her because she would foretell the future or something of that nature. People would come and they would pay, and she would, because of the demon or the spirit that was in her, would help her to do these kind of things. So this man had this young girl, and this young girl said that Paul and Silas were men of God, of the Most High, And Paul, seeing this girl and the way she was afflicted by this state that she was able to cast the demon out of her. And the owner of this lady, the master of this young girl, was he got angry at what he had done, and he took him to the leaders of that place where they were, that marketplace, and they were put in prison. They were cast into prison because of what they did. Because this man was complaining that they were doing an uproar against the people, and they were bringing up different teachings and stuff. And that's why they were put in prison. So we go back to the prison jailer. God had used Paul in that place for that young girl, and God put him there to use him to save that girl from the state that she was in. And now we see God using Paul and Silas, putting him in a difference in this state and being imprisoned. And we can see Paul in prison many of the times, and we see that the Lord uses different types of situations for each believer. The one that's already come to Christ, like myself and other brothers, and we know that there's other brothers out there that go through hardship and they go through struggles and different types of things to be able to go forth with the Word of God. And this is what God had to use for this jailer so that he can come to know Christ. And we see here that it was midnight and at the jail where they had been put in, and they were bound, and it says that they were bound from the feet. And the prisoners, it says here on verse, that the prisoners heard them when they were singing. It says on verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You see in verse 25, you see that the prisoners were able to hear these men that were bound, just like the other prisoners. And the place that they put them in the prison was not... let me just share with you guys a little bit what I know about when men are put in prison. They're, in a way, now they're processed and they're holding cells and they're put into... as they're being processed and being put into whatever type of incarceration they deserve, they go to a process. But in the word here, where we, if you were to study it good, and you would find that they were put in the inner part of the prison. They were not being processed. They put them all the way into where the you could say the holding tanks, where the terrible prisoners were. So that's where they went to go put Paul and Silas for what they had done. And it says that the prisoners heard them. And we can imagine how the other prisoners, they were there for whatever crimes they had done. And I imagine they were pretty bad crimes. But these two men, instead of cursing the jailers or cursing whatever the system was, they were praising God and they were praying and they were singing hymns. And I would imagine that they were praying for that girl that they had just barely saved, maybe. It doesn't say it, but I would imagine, because I've been around brothers in conferences. I've been able to be in a prayer meeting with only brothers, and they pray for certain people that they know have interest in the Word of God, and certain people that have just been saved. And I could imagine they were praying for this young girl, and that the Lord may keep her in His ways, and freeing her from all these types of things that she had gone through before. And just, I could just think of people that they were praying for, and they were being joyful and singing. And the jail prisoners were seeing all this and hearing all this. And then we see here where we read that there was a great earthquake. And this great earthquake shook the foundation of the prison. And by it saying this, it doesn't even say it here, but I could imagine that it only shook the prison. It doesn't share that it shook the city, and then the prison wall, the prison doors were opened. We could see here God at work shaking this prison and allowing these doors to open up and these chains to be falling off these prisoners. And the prisoners already hearing what they were hearing from the Apostle Paul and Silas, they were able to stay put. And when this jailer was, it says that he was awake. He was awakened by this. So we know that he was maybe a type of person that was not interested in his job. Maybe he was just there because he had to be there. Or we don't know exactly. And that's most of us, that's the way that we are. So he was awakened by this. And he was seen the doors open, he would have imagined that they had already gone out. And when they incarcerated him in verses before, they told this jailer that he had to guard them with his life. He did not have to allow them to escape if they were going to go to trial. But he, seeing these doors open and seeing how they were, he would imagine that they had already fled. So he got his sword and he was about to kill himself. He was going to fall on his sword and he was going to commit suicide. But we read, or we just read, that Paul told him that not to harm himself because they were all there. I've read commentaries that it says that only Paul and Silas remained in the prison. But if you read the Word of God carefully, you can see that it says, if I could find it real quick, it says that we're all, okay, verse 28, the last part of it, it says, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Meaning, all the prisoners. It doesn't say me and Silas, it says we're all here. So I'm thinking, or I'm just looking the way it says it, that that we're all there, all the prisoners. So, by the word of God, and they were praying and singing hymns, even the prisoners were even touched. But how much more this jailer, seeing how they were all there, and he was not able to, or he was not going to be put to death because anybody escaped. So we see God here working in another way with this individual here, which is the jailer. And just like he was a, just how he had Paul in a certain place for that young lady, where we didn't read, it was verses before this. It was, it starts, that story starts in Acts 16 and verse 12. Yeah, that's where it starts, but if you want to read that later. But he had, the Lord has put the Apostle Paul there for that lady, or for that young lady, and now he has him here for this young girl, or for this jailer. Now, if we could think of today, we don't know your situation. We don't know where you would come from. We don't know where you work. Not like this jailer, we knew where he worked at the prison. But today the Lord has put a place for you to come in, and as the jailer heard hymns and prayers, we have sung here today and we've prayed in the morning. We were able to remember the Lord as and the breaking of the bread. So you've heard the same thing as a jailer, and now you're able to hear the Word of God, the gospel message that that the Lord has given to us. And through this, you can see how God works. And maybe you're not at a time when this jailer had to put himself to death and going through this great struggle in his life. But today you have the opportunity, which is more calm and more understanding in a different way of the condition that we are all in. I was once in the same condition that a sinner was, without forgiveness, or not knowing that he has forgiveness. But now I thank God that I have this great privilege to present this to you and to share with my brothers that God still has a time for you, and he has he wants you to come as one that is, how can we say, is in a position that has nothing more to do. There's, what I mean to say is, there's nothing that you can do for yourself to get this forgiveness of sins. Christ has done it all on the cross of Calvary. He came, as we're remembering him in the morning, as the Lamb of God, as John was able to say in the beginning of the book of John when he was baptizing him. Or in the beginning of the book of Matthew, where he was baptizing the Lord Jesus, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And this jailer was seeing how they were all there, and in verse 29, he would call for a light to see if they were all there. I would imagine that somebody came with a torch or a candle or something, and he would go maybe cell by cell and seeing everybody there. And then when he came to where the apostle and the apostle Paul and Silas were, maybe he was able to, after seeing that they were all there, he was trembling with all this, knowing that he didn't have to die for anybody. So now he comes into their cell and he sees how, and asks them, what can he do to be saved? What do I have to do? And all they say to him is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And immediately he took them out of there, and he took them, it says he took them to his house, and he took care of them. He probably washed them up and covered their wounds that they had done to them. And there it says that they shared the word of God. And it says that his whole household was saved. And I just thank God that he is so merciful and patient with us. You know, we have until this day today to be here and to have this opportunity to share with you guys this great message that we have. I don't think there's any other type of message that you would rather hear than what you're hearing here today, that God gave his own son to pay for our sins. He was led to the cross of Calvary to become sin for us. He was there, hanging there, being offered up. In the old times, they had to offer up different types of animals and different types of cleanses for the sins that the people had done. But now there's no need for that. Now all we have is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by that, that's all we need, and that's all God is asking for. He doesn't ask for so many types of prayers or so many things that other people or other religions try to confuse people in believing. All you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. I would like to read in 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We see here how the change takes place. When a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person. Sometimes we have bad habits, and immediately sometimes they're taken away because of the great power that God has on us and his, how it affects us sometimes. But sometimes it just takes a little bit more time. But you become different. You won't be the same anymore. And if you feel a little grieved by things, little by little they'll be going away, because you'll be in God's word. How that jailer was, how they showed him God's word, and it says that he was saved and on his house. So we see there that he was obedient to be saved by believing in God, or in what God had done by giving his son. And we see that he was even baptized not long after that. So we see that he was submissive unto the word of God. And that we see many other times. And it says here what we just read, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So if you would like to take this and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, like myself, there was changes in one. When you believe, there is changes. There is a change of thought. There is a change of looking at life, wanting to share with other people, wanting to share what God has done in your life. And if you want to have that and you want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ this day, he is more than willing to accept any sinner, anyone that would come to him. Even though you think you're not a sinner, even the smallest sinner, God will receive you no matter what kind of sins you have.